As we're singing those songs this morning, a couple things stuck in my mind. I just want to throw these out there before we get started. That first one, it says that will be my theme in glory. Man, do you want your theme in glory? If you think of a theme of a song or a theme of a movie, that's what it's all about. Do you want, when you get to heaven, what your theme was about while you were on the face of this earth was telling people about Jesus? How many of us, I don't feel like I can say that. There was a time when my life was something else, and there was a time when that wasn't my focus, and my theme was not telling people about Jesus. There was days when I still get up that really, if I look back at the day, that sure wasn't the theme of the day. Man, I want our theme, when we get to heaven, that He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because your theme was all about me. That's what we want. And so, that stuck with me this morning. I just felt like I needed to share that. This morning, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. This is taking place as Jesus is speaking. He's just taught the Sermon on the Mount, and they were up on the mountainside, and He was speaking to, basically, His disciples were the closest ones to Him, and He's speaking to them, but there's so many people there, saved and unsaved, that are listening to Jesus' teachings. And as He's telling them these things, as He goes through the Sermon on the Mount, He begins here in chapter 7, at the end of chapter 7, to wrap it all up. And He gives basically four warnings in chapter 7. I'm going to kind of touch on three of them real quickly, but the fourth one is the one we're going to focus on. The first one, he tells them that, and it's kind of a warning to the lost. It's that warning that says, hey, there's just two destinations out there. There's two gates. It's a narrow gate and it's a narrow road that leads to heaven. It's a wide gate and a wide road that leads to destruction. And he warned them, hey, I've told you all these things. I've given you all these sayings, and now I'm telling you, you're going to one of two places. And so He warns the lost to know where you're headed. The second warning was basically to His followers. And He tells them, He says, just so you know, there are out there wolves in sheep's clothing. There are people out there that are they're trying to deceive you. That's their whole purpose. They are trying to blend in with the children of God, with the sheep of His pasture, but they're really wolves in sheep's clothing. Do not believe everything you hear just because it's from behind a pulpit. And I'm talking this pulpit. When you hear me say something, you look it up. You look it up and you know that it's from the Word of God. Don't take my word for it. I will never purposely lead you astray. But the bottom line is, He tells them there's wolves out there. There's people trying to deceive you. Understand that. The third warning He gives to them was a warning to those that were deceived. In verse 21, he says, there's going to be people that say, Lord, Lord, you know, and they're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven because they did all the right things. They were good people, but they did not know who Jesus was. And so He tells them to depart from me because He never knew them. Man, they thought, I know all the right things. I do all the right things. But I don't know Jesus. I haven't surrendered to Him. And so He warns them that are deceived. But this last one, this is the one we're going to focus on this morning. It's the fourth warning. And it starts in verse 24. So if you would read with me. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, speaking about the Sermon on the Mount and other things in the Bible, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You and we praise You for Your Word. Lord, You have kept it for us. You have it for us to teach us, to guide us, to show us how to live for You. Lord, we pray this morning that Your word would be plain. That, Lord, it would come from You. That You would help us to apply it to our lives in whatever way we need. Speak to us as individuals, Lord. Help us to open our ears to hear and our hearts to love. We thank You and we praise You for this time and for Your Spirit. In Your name we pray. Amen. This last one, like I said, is a warning to those people that were disobedient. Now, who falls into that category? Unfortunately, we probably all do. As He's talking to them, He's comparing these two men. And He says that He's going to use the analogy of building a house. And we know that He's saying one is like a wise man and one is like a fool because of where they built their house. But He's comparing the fact that they're building their house to people that heard God's word and either did it or didn't. Now, this is something I want to throw out here right off the bat. You can come here every Sunday morning and you can hear the Word of God read and preached. You can go to Sunday school classes. You can go to Bible studies. And you can hear God's Word taught. But if all you do is hear God's Word being taught or hear God's Word being preached, well, I'm just going to step back to when I was in that. I was a fool. Because I thought that was enough. I thought that was plenty. I was listening. I knew it. I had it memorized. I sang it. I did all the right things. It came in fine. But it didn't sink in. I didn't do what it said. The Bible tells us to not just to be hearers only, but to be doers of the Word. So in this story of Jesus's, He compares these two men that are going to build two different houses. Look at the similarities of these houses. Both houses were built by individuals. You're going to have to build your house, and I'm going to have to build my house. I can't expect my wife to build my house. I can't expect my grandma to build my house. I can't expect my kids to build my house. I have to build my house. So what that comes down to is you're responsible for what stands before you and God. You have to build your own house. So we have two men that are building their own house. Doesn't tell us much about the actual houses. Doesn't tell us anything about how tall they were, how large they were, how small they were. It doesn't tell us anything about that, but it does tell us some other things that they have in common. Says that the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. Both houses, your house and my house, your life and my life, we're going to face those three things. We're going to face the rain. Where's rain come from? It comes from above. God is going to test you. He's going to send things from above that's going to test your life. Going to see how good your roof is. He's going to see where your house is at. You'll be tested from above. The next is the floods. Man, floods. I've seen pictures of places where people are just walking down the street and all of a sudden here comes a big wall of water. Yeah, it rained a little ways over, or we heard that this, you know, that maybe that dam broke or whatever, but all of a sudden this flood is there. And it comes up upon you like out of nowhere. You can kind of brace for it if you know what's coming. You have those things in your life that are that way. You can see it coming. You can brace for it. You can try to be prepared. I think when it comes to the floods, that's never going to happen to us. I've got my house built on the top of a hill. I am not ever going to be flooded. You know what? My house caught on fire one time. Guess where that fireman's standing with the hose? In my kitchen. Guess what my downstairs looked like? It was flooded. I live on the top of the hill. I was not expecting a flooded basement. You don't expect some of those floods, but they're coming. Then there's that wind. Both houses were going to have the wind, and it says, and that wind beat on those houses. You can step out here when the wind's blowing, and man, those flags are just popping. I mean, the wind is hitting those flags, and it's just popping, or else you can feel it blowing across here. You can't see it. You don't really know where it's coming from, but you can see the results. And you're going to have things in your life, and I'm going to have things in my life that's just like that wind. Man, out of nowhere. Does damage, and you can't even see it. Some of our rains are going to come from above. Some of the floods are going to come from just life. And then some of our winds are just going to come out of nowhere. But understand, they're going to hit you and they're going to hit me. At some point, they're going to get us. There's one other thing that these two houses have in common. And it's more of a could have had in common. Because the first man, he built his house upon the rock. The second man, he built his house upon the sand. But let's go back at the first part of the verses. When he says, whoever hears these sayings is like this first man. But whoever hears these sayings is the second man. Both men had the opportunity to build on that rock. You ever thought about that? We know one chose to build on the sand and one chose to build on the rock. But they both had the opportunity. And I want to point out that today you had the opportunity. Now, I'm sure most of you have had the opportunity over and over and over in your life to hear the gospel. To be able to build your life on that foundation. To be able to hear God's word and to be able to do it. The second man here, he heard God's word and he did not do it. Well, immediately, we're going to assume that's probably a non-Christian. Because if I was going to say, okay, all you Christians out there that always do everything the Bible says, raise your hand. We would have no hands. We all fall in this category of being disobedient. We fall in this category. Both of these houses could have had a solid foundation built on the rock. But he chose not to, which brings us to this question. Why would a person who has success, who has access to the Word of God choose not to build your foundation on His Word? To us, it doesn't really make sense. To most of us in here, those of us that have already accepted Christ, that have surrendered our life to Him, that doesn't make sense. Why would I want to face the rain and the floods and the wind of this life by myself when I know that my Redeemer lives and I can face it with Him? I can know that no matter what I face, I'll never walk alone. It doesn't make sense to me why a person who has access to the Word of God, who hears it, refuses it. But then it always comes back to that same type of statement that God puts in my head. He says, Steve, don't expect them to do it if they don't understand it. They may be hearing it, but they may not understand it. Have you tried to explain it to them? Has that been your theme to explain the love of Jesus Christ to people around you every day? They may have heard it, but they don't understand it. The gospel is veiled to those that are perishing. It tells us that in His Word. We know that somebody that doesn't understand His Word is not going to obey it. But there are still two types of people that disobey, that fall in this category of this second man. Like I said, there's the lost that kind of somewhat have an excuse. They don't believe in Jesus. Why are they going to obey what He says? Maybe they've never heard of it. So nobody's ever told them. So how are they going to obey it? If I pull out on a highway down here between Springfield and Bolivar, and I just pull off a county road and I take off down the road, and the speed limit sign was back behind me, and I'm going to drive several miles maybe before I see another speed limit sign. How do I know how fast to drive if I haven't seen the sign? How are they going to know the love of Jesus if they haven't seen the sign in us? So it takes us to that second group of people, the saved, who either don't see themselves as disobedient or they're okay with being disobedient. Because, you know, when I accepted Christ, I am so much better than I was. I wasn't terrible, but I was lost, and sin was sin in my life, and it didn't matter. And so I've accepted Christ, and I've come. He's brought me a long ways. So I'm good. I'm okay. I'm content with where I'm at. If you ever get to those three things, okay, good, and content, you're in trouble. But what we do as Christians is because I know enough. I know enough that I'm better than I was. Well, God loves you way too much to leave you where you are. But again, it gets us back to that question of why are we disobedient? I think there's a few reasons here, and it fits in every group. One is it's too much work. Think about these two men. If we go back to the building of the house, you've got this one guy, and he's going to build his house, and he's got to dig clear down to the solid rock. If you're in Cedar County, you don't have to dig very far, but everything you dig through is going to be rock. It's not easy. There's a reason for that reward to be down there. You have to work to get it. It takes effort. It takes time. But for me, sometimes as a Christian, man, that sand is so much easier. I'm just going to have somebody else do the digging in the Bible. Somebody else do the studying in the commentaries. You just tell me what it says. And I've been there. I know the difference in digging into a commentary and it not coming from a Sunday school teacher or a Bible study leader or a parent or a pastor. It came from God's Word. Man, there's no better place than when you open your Bible and you realize God is speaking to you out of His Word. It's not, well, I hope so-and-so heard that sermon this morning. He really needed that. We're not going to say who always says that, but the bottom line is, it takes too much work to dig deep into God's Word, to see what He has for me. Just let somebody else do the digging. And of course, that lost person, they're not going to dig. They don't even know the rock's down there. They don't know the benefits of that rock. They don't know the benefits of that solid foundation. And when life is falling apart, you can fall on your knees and be in the arms of Jesus. They don't understand that rock. So why would they ever try to dig to something that they don't know is there? Because I haven't told them it's there. I haven't told them the security I find in that rock. So one, I think we disobey because it's too hard. The next one, I think it's because of that attitude, that idea of not expecting the storms. I've talked to people over the past 30-some years, and man, they accept Christ. And, oh, everything's going to be great now. Man, it's going to be good. God's going to take it all. He's going to take all that pain away. He's going to take all that misery away. Well, He will one day, but not down here. But what we have to understand is that those storms are coming. Some people are not expecting the storms. Can you imagine going into your life tomorrow not expecting a storm? Not expecting some kind of trial or some kind of trouble in your life? There are people that just, hey, that's just life. It's not really trouble. It's not really trial. That's just life. No, that's the wind and that's the floods and that's the rain. And it's there because you have an enemy. And it's there because your God wants you to depend on Him. It's there because of the fall of man. But it's there. And you need to understand that. A lot of those people that don't see the storms coming think, well, you know, I can handle it anyway. They're that group that they figure their house is strong enough. I'm sure when these two guys, when they built their house, and the one guy digs way down to the rock and the other guy digs into the sand and this guy's foundation is covered up and this guy's foundation is covered up, my house looks just as good as that guy over there. Don't ever judge yourself by somebody else's house. Because their foundation may not be the same as yours. But that's what takes place here. There are those that figure, hey, my roof's good. My windows are sealed. I got a good floor. I'm good enough. Everything I can see is good. Everything I can see is okay. For those of you who've been Christians for very long or even are of any age, really over probably 10, know that when things are out of your sight doesn't mean you're okay. It's not just being okay with the things you can see. You understand that God is in control of everything. The people that know there's storms out there, but they think they can make it on their own, they're better off than they were before, like I said earlier. At least I'm not living in a tent like that guy. At least I'm not living under a bridge like that guy. But you don't have to pay for that guy's storms. You don't have to pay for that guy's floods. The rain. So when it comes to these two men, they've got these two houses. The only difference, same wind, same rain, same floods, same opportunity to build on a firm foundation. But it comes down to where are you at? In obedience to God. Whoever hears these sayings of mine, Jesus said, and does them. Whoever hears what He says and does them, Jesus considers wise. How many times has He thought I'm a fool? Because there have been so many times that I've not done what I've heard. Man, that was such a good message. That was such a good Bible study. That was such a good devotion. 3 days later, what was that anyway? I remember it was something. It was somewhere in Philippians or somewhere in, late in the New Testament. And when you get it from Him, you don't have to remember anything I say. When you get it from Him, out of your Bible, on your knees, in your prayer closet, at your kitchen table, wherever you have that time with Him, if you get it from Him, then if you're going to be disobedient, who's it to? Well, I've sat in many a pew and had people preach to me, and I know that it was something I should have heard, something I should have done, something I should have changed in my life. But when I walked out the same as when I came in. Because I figured, well, you know, He's just going through something about sanctification or justification, and they're just teaching us these things. Well, how can I learn if somebody teaches me something and I don't take it in? And so, we don't ever depend on the person in front of you to teach you. Yes, it's good, and yes, God places some people to do that. But you are His child. It doesn't come through your parents, your grandparents, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister. God has children, not grandchildren. You are His child. Every time I wanted to talk to Nathan, I didn't go tell Donis. Donis, go talk to Nathan and tell him this. Donis, go tell Nathan to do that. It didn't have to go through somebody else. I went straight to Nathan. You needed to come straight from God, not from me, not from a Sunday school teacher. Yes, those are bonuses when that happens. But it needs to come from you and God communicating together. It's a relationship. That's what we've got to understand. As we get ready to wrap this up, we look at these two men. One hears and does it. The other hears and does not do what Jesus said. Well, you know, we're obedient a lot of the time as Christians. More so than not, maybe. But you can never stop being obedient. And there are those out there that are probably not Christians, that maybe don't know who Jesus is. And you're hearing me stand up here and say, well, it sounds to me like Christianity is a lot of do's and don'ts. You have to obey God and you can't do this and you have to do that. It's not about do's and don'ts. It's about what He did for you. Understand, being obedient shows that you love somebody. When I was in fifth grade, I had a mean teacher. If I never listened to him, how could I be obedient? If you don't listen, you cannot be obedient. But if you listen, you're required to be obedient. So I'm going to leave you with this. You've heard His word. What are you going to do with it? You've been given His word. You can get it on your phone. You can get it on your tablet. You can get it on your computer. You can still buy it in the store. You have access to God's Word. Now it's all in your hands. Well, the pastor didn't have a very good message today. Well, you know, that happens here from time to time. But what I'm saying is, you can't blame it on me anymore. You can't blame it on mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, somebody else, that teacher at college. You can't blame it on anybody else. Because you have the opportunity to read God's Word for yourself. He wants you to be obedient. to His Word. Be obedient to, first of all, His call to salvation. Man, He's calling out to all of us. He wants us to come to know Him. He died on the cross as a part of His call to us. And man, as a Christian, I can't believe I put it off that long before I was obedient to that call. And as a pastor, it breaks my heart to think there are people, probably even sitting in this room, that are not obedient to that call. And ultimately, that's the one that matters the most, is answering the call, answering the love of Jesus Christ with surrender to His Lordship. Then after you've taken care of that, it's obedience to His Word with your life. Not just part of your life. All of your life. Everything you have, everything you are, should be obedient to the Word of God. Not just good enough. Not okay. Not content. Obedient to the Word of God, not in your life, because sometimes there's not a lot of Word of God in my life, but obedient to the Word of God with my life, with everything I am. It may cause you to dig a little bit. And then, you're obedient to His call of salvation. You're obedient to His Word with your life. And you're obedient to His service to others. It is your responsibility as a born-again Christian to serve Him by loving others and by serving others. And too many times, I'm not very obedient in that. I let somebody walk by me at a game that I know I should say, or a kid stepping off the bus and I know I should talk to him. Whatever the case might be, sometimes I'm so focused on, okay, I know I've got the call to salvation. I know I'm trying to work my life and be obedient with His Word in my life. But what about my service to others? Because He says to love me and to love others. We have to be obedient. If He's really our Lord and Savior, you can't help but be obedient. That's your responsibility. That's your requirement. And I'm not lowering the boom on anybody more than myself. But if I truly love God and I want the theme of my life to be about Jesus Christ, that'll never happen if I'm not obedient to His Word. Obedient to His call of salvation. Obedient to His service. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just come before You and we thank You and praise You for Your Word. We thank You for the opportunity to open it today. Lord, I pray You speak to each of us. Lord, show us what it is You have for us. Teach me and guide me. God, I want my theme to be about You. I want to serve You. I want to love You more. I want to understand. I want to praise You. I want to honor You. I want to worship You more. Lord, we lift this time to You. Lord, speak to us and draw us to You. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.